From Santa Monica, California, here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and other organizations for the purpose of improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. This seminar is entitled, Being in Fellowship with the Lord. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about the movement.
There's so much tradition wrapped up in our lives that somehow it seems that if we do it, it will be so. Habitual behaviors are not so. They're just memory without spiritual guidance. They're the response of nothingness into the nothingness. I'm really fortunate. And even when I was going through a lot of years of sickness, and I'm still cleaning it up a little bit. But it's nice to find out I can run up the stairs. When I get up here, I'm not going to fall over. I don't have to grab a hold of the chairs and hang on till all the strange stuff leaves my head. And to find out that there are people who cared, that I had health, and were willing to do what they could to see that that came about better and better. And I just said, that obligates me out of my own choice to return everything back to the people that I can. The tricks I found, the sidesteps, the shortcuts, the how to do it, the how to have it better, I'll show you, and then if you decide to do it, it's yours. And if you don't, that's fine, because it was freely given. You can freely use it or freely not use it. We've been doing this for many years now. When I started out, I was just going to do it for a few years. I was going to have 21 people in a class. Classes would go 5 to 8 weeks, depending upon the material. And I would just repeat the material. And it's now some 6,000 seminars later, and it's all different. Just think about that. 6,000 one-hour seminars means I have not been paid fairly for my time. When someone asked Jesus, let's do this and this, he said, I have to pay them from the coin I have in my purse. And so I know that I get paid out of the coin you have in your purse, and most of you have love and caring. That's been ample for me. It's been more than ample. It's been the balm of Gilead. It's been a delight. It's something where I guess I'm a little addicted, that I like people to touch me when they touch with the spirit of loving and caring. Just to think, when you pick up a baby, how careful you pick it up so that you don't give it difficulties for later on in life. Wouldn't it just be terrific that right in this moment, with the glory to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive its own King, the King of glory, of light, of sound, the Prince of Peace, who came with a sword of separating that which is not working from that which works. One who looks upon the works of the world and says, you did it to you, so now you get it. And if you don't like that, change your behavior. And we're not going to change our behavior, so we get it. Then we wail and gnash the teeth and pray to God to change. And he's not a God to change nor to repent. And he doesn't lie, and I've never seen him change his mind. And so all that happened to me was he strengthened me and made me more of a fit companion to walk with my eyes on the Lord. And made me fit to be a companion with those around me, so I could walk with my eyes on them and to hold them close and to hold them near. And I found out that love became real and life-giving and living. And that love was taking me where love wanted to go. And it wanted me to go where there was love. You know, and I thought that was stupid and silly and sissy. And it wasn't. It was courageous and forthright and audacious. just to walk up to someone that you just meet and you hug them. You do not let the barriers of the negativity stand in the way of the spirit of promise. Memory is not what the heart wants. The heart wants nowness. It wants to be touched. It wants to be held. It wants to be held in the hands of morning. It wants to be caressed by the winds of night. Is that asking too much? I think, why ask for a loaf of bread if you can ask for a grocery store? And it's free for the asking. And somebody said, yeah, and then what happens? I said, well, then I guess you'll get it when I get it. And when I get it, you got it, but I don't got it, so you don't get it. That ended that conversation. And still we ask for the grocery store in many ways. Thank you all for being here. You know, it's because I love you and respect you so much, and I look around here at you, and I've seen everybody in the room now. I've looked at everybody in this room, and there's a lot of you here. And I'm honored that we're all together in this room. And I feel really special in a sense of the word that Spirit is using me to bring it to all of us more and more and more. And I'm really thankful that I'm smart enough to receive the Spirit that comes from you. And I'd like to just let you know that I do acknowledge that and I do see it. And I see your talents and your abilities. And if I had a prayer for you, I'd say, God, strengthen them and let the abilities come forward. Let them entertain your people. Let them also be the joy to the world. The Lord came and stayed. I'm not waiting for the second return. Isn't it nice to know that if you had a stocking and it was behind, hung by the mantle by the fireplace, that you could wake up in the morning and Santa would have something in there? And I remember when we were young, we would get these big, long cotton stockings, because I lived in cold weather where it would really be snowy, and we would get the longest stocking that we could, and we would stretch it, and we'd hold on to it and pull it and stretch it and stretch it and pull it till the thing would be almost like half again as big, so then we could get more. And my mother and dad caught us doing this, and we knew there was something about that, but Santa Claus would be okay with it. But we were kind of afraid mother and dad would say, you're ruining the socks. And they didn't. They just looked at it. And then the next morning we got up and we go to the socks first. Do you know what my dad did? He took pieces of coal and put in those socks. And on the top of it, he put an orange. I was never so disgusted with my dad in all my life. God, I want to take that orange and do something with it. And I didn't know what to do with the coal. And he said, the reason that Santa put coal in there so you wouldn't have to go out in the cold and get it to heat the house. And I thought, my God, will I ever stop misjudging the gift by its appearance? And I did. I decided to let the gift reveal itself. And if it never revealed itself, that's the gift. And if it revealed itself, that was more. In the movement of spiritual inner awareness, we always seem to get more. Just when you're at the height of the joy and the goodness, something else happens that is joyful and good. And I'm looking at the TV in front of me, and on the bottom of it says, program fiend. And it just flashed through me. Are we spiritually being program fed? If we get in line for the program, do we just get fed? I think so. Because I haven't found anybody yet that knows how to beat a heart or digest the food, or who wakes you and who sleeps you, and who meditates you and who prays you and who breathes you and who sees through you, and how do you see and how does all that work? When I get something in my eye, I don't know how to get it out. I have to do something else. Sometimes I find out that time is the Lord. And sometimes he's on time, and most of the time he wasn't. Then I realized he's right now all the time. Right here. And I realized all of a sudden, I'm in the same place. I'm not in the past. I'm not in the future. But I'm right now, and it goes from the past to the future. And in between, I'm just happen to be here at this time. Have you ever said something to someone and then you wished you hadn't said it? I'm not responsible for anything that I said prior to just right now. Because I told you, you decide how you use this. You are responsible for the listening. If you get upset by what you see, be careful what you look at. You're responsible for that vision. If you get upset by what you hear, be careful what you listen to. You're responsible for that hearing. And if you don't like what happened where you are, you're responsible for choosing that company. Move yourself out of it. Do you get the idea that you are a co-creator with God in a minor position, but nevertheless still a co-creator? And you're learning how to create, much like children play with toys, practicing what they want to be when they're older. I don't know if you know it, but when they play doctor and nurse and fireman and policeman and airplane pilot and ambulance driver, they're just finding out which kind of jobs they're going to have when they get older. Your job as parents, as friends, as older children is to help supply them the wherewithal to get the information down in their body so they can make the decisions faster. It's a strange thing to say, but maybe it has to be said. There's a lot of trouble in the world. And it's being caused by people. And these people were raised by other people. And maybe they're angry. And a lot of people fight against authority. Who are you to tell me? You're not my boss. We got to stop living our lives through others. We've got to stop controlling people. We've got to make them free in and around us so that when they get hurt, upset, and they need caring, they'll know they can come to you because you're going to let them have their feelings and responses of upliftment. And you're going to encourage them and let them know you care and be in the loving with them, be in the spirit with them, be in their choices with them. So what if they make a bad choice? Be in the correction with them. Be in the joy of awareness that they found something that wasn't working and they're correcting it. Gee, what happens when people get divorced? The marriage is over. What else is it? It's not all the negativity that you put on it. It was probably hard enough when they did it that they don't need to have a continuation of the negativity. What do we do with people who do things against us? Well, what business is God in? Forgiveness. And if we're going to be co-creators, what's the business we got to get in? Amongst everything else we do, we're in the business of forgiving. The neat thing about time is it cures the pain. And the neat thing about the spirit is the wisdom is brought forward from the experience. And the bad news psychologically is you don't want to do that again because you're afraid you'll get hurt. And so you bring the past, lay it on your future, and then not participate in your own spiritual unfoldment. I have a really good friend that's been married 4 times. And I didn't know the first wife, but I saw pictures and he told me enough about her that I felt like I really knew her. And I knew the other wife, and she was like the first one. And then I met the third wife, and she was like the second and the first one. Then I met the fourth wife, who was like the third one and the second one and the first one. And I said, why do you keep marrying the same woman over and over and over? Didn't you get it that that particular vibration person doesn't work with yours? He said, nope. And I thought, what a stupid question for me to ask. Didn't you get it? Of course he didn't get it. Or he would have married a cow or something, you know? I mean, well, one of them was sort of like, you know, reminiscent of that. But that's another story, so we don't want to get into that. But the wonderful thing is he took each one of those women and converted them into friends. Because he still gave of his heart. He wasn't saying, I don't love you. He was saying, I can't live with you. And that's important for us to know the difference. I remember when I was very young, and our family would feed us the food that we didn't like peas. My brother and I would sit at the table, and I had an aunt. She's really wonderful. I'll leave her name off this because she's not dead yet. But my brother and I were at the table, and they were saying, the one who eats the most will get the most dessert. Now, we were pretty young. We didn't know the catch 22, that if you eat the most, you can't eat dessert because you're too full. So my brother, within a matter of minutes, looked around and he said, I finished. He'd eaten all the peas on his plate. And my aunt looked over. She says, oh, there's one there on the side that you didn't get. So she pulled it out and he got that and ate it. And she says, oh, I think I see another one. Now, my dad reached over and picked up the plate, and there my brother had put a ring of peas around the plate. And this is something they don't know, but when they see this, they're going to say, oh, my God. I saw them do that, and I saw them, you know, they didn't really punish him as much as there was a lot of laughter and kidding and joking around. So while they were doing that with him, I took the peas that was on my plate and put them around the sides. And when they looked back, all my peas were gone. And so they just took it for granted that I'd eaten my peas. I didn't. I put them around the plate. You didn't know it. And that was my last karmic confession. I did it, and I'm glad. And if I could do it again, I would. But just to think that I had a brother that was that smart, that could mislead me and lead me astray and I could get away with it. You know, folks, you don't get away with it. You just don't. At some point in your life, you're going to be held up responsible for all the things you do. So you best start getting some really good rational lighting going so that you can pop off the answers real fast. But there's one thing you can't fool, and that's who you are. You can fool everybody around here. That's easy. We have to all come back to the plate and sit down and take our heart of loving and eat from that. We don't have to eat from the plate of sorrow. We can eat from the plate of thanksgiving. You know, next year, some of you people that are listening to this won't be here physically. You're going to be in another place. Why don't you live your life from now on so when people say your name, there will be the thoughts of love and the memory of regret and the wishing that you were still here. Make it so difficult for them that they'll wish they would have treated you better. Because revenge is sweet when you can take it. But if you can't take it, then it's hard. Everything's now. I told you stories about when in my childhood, I was in 7th grade, and it was right now. We don't have to go to the past. We can just bring it forward. And I know that I'm probably going to ring the plate with peas or something else in the future. I know I'm going to do that. I just don't know when or why. It's like a big surprise coming up. When I do it, I'm going to say, oh, my God, I've done this before. And I got away with it. And this time I've got to make sure that I don't let me get away with it. I've got to bring me into the discipline of the fellowship of the Lord, into the loving heart, into the little heart, into the sweet heart, into the caring heart, and make sure that civilization in its great glory will one day look upon the works of John Roger and say, thank you for being here. And I'd like you to be standing right nearby, and it looks at you and says, thank you for being here, and thank you, and thank you, and thank you, and thank you, and thank you. And we go down the line. And each time the Spirit of Life says, thank you, we all get to stand up and say hallelujah and clap to show that we really, honest to God, do care. Waiting on the Lord is really waiting for your loved ones. Do you understand that? They are your Lord. They are your Savior. They are not the Christ that we all know who brought salvation and the kingdom and the keys to the doors of spiritual loving and caring. And that one we honor Christmas Eve. Now they're finding out maybe, just maybe, Jesus wasn't born in this time period. That maybe this was a time period where the sperm and ova of spirit met and produced a fertility that brought forward a body 9 months from now, which would be September the 24th, which is my birthday. I don't know what to do with that one. I can't retract it, but certainly I can beg forgiveness for a misdeed and misspoke. But what the heck? Do we love and care for each other? If we don't, let's do that. If we're out of practice, let's get practicing. Let's step up to it. Let's look in the mirror of completeness. Let's drink of the water of life. Let's hug each other. Let's support each other. America's becoming more caring since the September the 11th thing. Our hearts went out. We bled. We cried. Oh, my God. The panic, the anxiety. When would it happen to us? When would it happen to this? When this? When this? When, Almighty God, when? Right now. Everything that we want is going to be fulfilled inside of us, but not materially. It's going to be filled in the fulfillment of the Spirit of fullness. We will not lack, we will not desire, we will not seek after, but we will seek and find the kingdom of heaven, and the glory that is God will be ours. We will bathe in it, we will be gloriously illuminated in it, we will be, and we will know that, and that's promised out of the Spirit. This is not John Rogers' promise. I can't promise you that. I can just tell you that it's there. Many people now, after many years of us studying together, have started seeing it in each other. We've started recognizing it. We start to look in the eyes of each other, and we see the spiritual light unfolding, and we know there is a kingdom of heaven. There is a God Almighty. There is a Lord and Savior, and that's all us. And we're being birthed once again through the remembrance of words. Least we forget, put a little note on your mirror, in your bathroom. Every day you wake up, you look at it, and it says, the Lord and I are one. And then do your part as the one. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It's like breathing in and breathing out. And if you can follow that through, everything else will be added to you. Everything else will be added. Who wants everything else? Look at the warehouse maintenance bills. you got everything you want, it would be the most miserable thing for you. And so it comes in spiritually that you get the fulfillment, the fulfillment, and you do not lack nor seek after, but you enjoy and share, and you enter into the caring, which is an energy of service. And so we serve each other, and we love each other, and we praise each other, and we pray for each other, and we support each other. And where there is one who is ill, all are ill. And where one is well, all are well. And we have to enter into that. Often it's a challenge. It was a challenge with me because a lot of people I didn't think were that worthwhile to spend that much time. That was my poor choice and mistake. I run the corrections, fixed it, and it left me wiser, smarter, and to keep my mouth shut about things I didn't know. And to own the not knowing. But to own the not knowing, I must also own the knowing. And to withhold the knowing and the loving and the caring is a spiritual crime. I don't want to do that. I don't want you to do that. And it's all fixed and cured by just loving. Just remember that when you look at people, you're seeing God in manifestation. For he can't get out of his creation. Because he created us and he stuck with us. Let's just make it worthwhile for each other, because God already has found it worthwhile. Remember this, when he made you, he didn't use junk. Out of the very best. And when he looked at it and he's all through, he said, and it's good. But only God is good. Baruch Bishan.
John Rogers' closing words were Baruch Bishan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.